and they find it absolutely hilarious. They aren't the X. They aren't no names. And they aren't gentlemen. They are Gemma and King. And this is Social Downfall Radio.
Another week, another Social Downfall Radio. King here with you.
Gemma also.
And, man, that opening is kind of becoming prophetic because society just does seem to be crumbling. And we do find it hilarious, especially the presidential debates. That's the only thing you're going to hear me mention about it. I'm not going to talk about the presidential debates at all. I'm not going to talk about politics at all. Like, I really can't stand the whole thing. So we're just not even going to talk about that. But what I do want to talk about, at least right now, social media. Our social media. Go follow us. We're on Facebook. Facebook.com/Social Downfall Radio. We are also on Twitter at Social Downfall minus the O in Downfall. Go follow us. We're fun. We're great. Everybody like, follow, share, subscribe, all that fun stuff. If you enjoy us, share us around with your friends because it would be nice. It would be a nice thing. And I would say thank you for being nice.
Sharing is caring.
That's about all I can do. Like I wish I could give away like prizes or T-shirts or something like that, but as of right now, no, I can't do that. So at some point, we're gonna get a T-shirt out. I'm thinking we might have a King Club shirt come out soon. I'm not sure if I want to do Social Down, like do a, like a absolutely just centric Social Downfall Radio shirt, or if I want to do the King Club shirt with Social Downfall Radio on it somewhere. I know you want a Gemma Club shirt.
Yes.
Done. So we'll look into that as well. But you're lower down the totem pole. Nobody really. Nobody.
You're funny.
I'm joking. I'm not joking at all. No. Anyway, but that would be nice. So again, like, share, subscribe, all that fun stuff. As I mentioned before, we did a little video as we normally do on Facebook before the show started. We're actually going to start trying to do some YouTube stuff as well. So that we can kind of broaden our scope, broaden our horizon, put a couple videos out there, and actually have it kind of be fun. You know, I think it'd be fun.
YouTube's fun.
YouTube is fun.
I'm on YouTube.
And yes, you are. You have all your like sing-songy things on there, which is actually fun. If you go, if you actually look, is it Gemma Nem or is it just Gemma?
It's actually I Am Bad Wolf.
Oh, that's right. Yes, because you're a huge Doctor Who mark. So I Am Bad Wolf. If you go look up on YouTube, you can see Gemma from a couple years ago singing along there. Not bad pipes, not bad vocals. I'll give you that. Some of them, your pitch goes off a little bit. I'm not gonna lie, but you know, you were also drinking and smoking heavily then. So
I'm also untrained.
That's not bad for untrained. I'll tell you that. It's not bad. I mean, well, weren't you part of theater in high school?
I was in the chorus, but that, I mean, chorus class really isn't training.
Like, it's more training than somebody who has no training. Like, you know, you learned a little bit of how to, you know, maybe control octaves or whatever. Like, I have no idea what it is. I wasn't in chorus, so I don't know. I'm legitimately untrained in any kind of vocal things.
There was a girl in my class who actually had a vocal trainer and everything. She's trying out for Broadway, from what I understand.
Broadway, hello.
She got all the leads. I didn't like her.
Oh, a tinge of jealousy, I hear.
A tinge?
A tinge.
A tinge.
Just a tinge. A tinge of the minge. Anyway, a couple things happening. It's kind of an exciting time here for us at Social Downfall and for our other podcast that I do and that we do here at Skunk Duck Studios, Stay Tuned Sports. We have some acoustic foam here now.
That's kind of cool.
It's starting to look like a studio in here, like an actual honest to goodness studio. Like we're putting the pieces together. Now, unfortunately, my microphone still has an echo to it. There's nothing I can do about that. I've been trying to do it. I thought maybe the acoustic foam would help. It hasn't. But, you know, I think it's just a case of needing a better microphone. Again, these microphones were $30 off of Amazon. So, I mean, they're doing the job. Like, I mean, I can communicate. I don't sound terrible. Like, it doesn't. The audio isn't unlistenable. Like, it's fine. I have certain standards. So, like, having worked in radio and having done everything like that, like, I want it to sound a certain way. And it's not quite there yet. You know, even from when I worked on the Gentleman Show, our sound was a lot better. But then again, the mics that we had were a little bit better too. They were about $100 a piece, or a little bit more than that. So they were, and they were meant for, yeah, like, they were radio microphones. You know what I mean? They were true recording microphones. These are little USB microphones that they kind of look like a shotgun mic, but they're really not. Like, it's they're kind of a weird hybrid kind of thing. So once we get some money coming in, which hopefully will happen when I do t-shirts, and, you know, other stuff as well. Again, I'm trying to cobble everything together here. This is right now, the only job I have is this podcast. So I'll put that over. There's not a lot of income coming from me, you know, to the show. Like, I have a couple logo things that I do that I'm getting paid for, and that helps out a little bit. But, you know, I also have bills and other things to pay. You know, like, I need to make sure that the internet's paid. So that takes a sizable chunk out of anything that I get from the logos. So still working on things, still trying to put things together, but slowly but surely things are getting better here at Skunk Duck Studios, and I'm excited by that. I really am. It's starting to look like more like a studio, starting to feel more like a studio. Feels more real, you know what I mean? Feels more solid, tangible. It's like, okay, this is, you know, this isn't now just being done in my bedroom, which is basically where this is being done. My bedroom is slowly becoming a studio, and I'm okay with that. I'd rather call, you know, I'm going to start referring to my bedroom as a studio, and I'm going to start inviting girls up to, hey, you want to come see my studio, baby? Yeah.
Well, I, for one, feel like a professional right now.
Well, at least you feel like it. You don't look like it, but at least you feel like it. I'm joking. Wow, death glare. I can't even see your face, and I know I'm getting a death glare.
Is it really that noticeable?
I can feel it. Like, I don't even need to see it. I just feel it. I just feel the heat coming this way. But yeah, so Skunk Duck Studios starting to come together a little bit here. Like I said, we're going to have the t-shirts coming out soon. We already have our social media stuff there on Facebook, facebook.com/socialdownfallradio. And we are on Twitter, like I said, at socialdownfall minus the O in downfall. So go like, subscribe, share, do all that fun stuff there. It's just, it feels good. Feels like we're coming together. Another thing I wanted to bring up, and this happened before the show. And, you know, me and Gemma, we have our little back and forth banter before the show. We test the mic, you know, test the levels, make sure everything is as good as we possibly can get it, you know, with the equipment that we have. And one thing I noticed is Gemma doesn't get or understand or know, like, general everyday phrases. Like, I was making fun of the fact that she's from upstate New York.
Not upstate.
Which, she's originally from, what, the Brewster, Putnam Lake area there of New York. Right next to where Connecticut is. Like, you walk 5 minutes and you're in Connecticut, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not even 5 minutes.
Okay, so, like, you're like, right there on the border. In upstate New York, by the way.
Not,
like,
upstate.
Listen, anything above... and I'll give you Yonkers. Anything above Yonkers is upstate. Usually, my feeling is anything above the Bronx is upstate New York.
Fight me, bro.
That's just, I mean, from where I grew up in the tri-state area of New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, anything around that area, that's like, that's the city, that's the area, the metropolitan, you know, the New York City metroplex. Anything above that is upstate New York or out west. Like, honestly, if you go past Newark, you're out west. Like, seriously.
You hurt my head. There's so much more to New York.
But anyway, I was telling the story of, you know, Ossining in New York, which is really upstate New York, and the prison in Ossining, which everybody knows colloquially, blah, 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 blah. I can't even talk. But anyway, Sing Sing Prison is up in Ossining. It's the reason why they call it Sing Sing. And that's also where the term up the river came from. you're getting sent up the river. Well, yeah, because criminals in New York would get sent up the Hudson River to Sing Sing Prison up in Ossining. So I say that phrase, and then I start, you know, I explain the history of it to Gemma, and I get a blank stare. I get an absolute blank stare. I've never heard of that. I don't know what that is. And at first I thought she was joking. At first I thought she was just like, you know, she's pulling my chain or, you know, busting my chops. And no, she...
Nope.
You've never heard the term up the river?
No.
Or being sent up the river?
No.
In your entire life, in any movie or TV show or any conversation you've had with anybody in your life, you've never heard up the river?
As I said, if I did, I don't remember it. It's not something that stuck with me.
Wow. I don't... And here's the thing. This isn't the first time that I've said something to you that's kind of just like a general turn of phrase, and you gave me that blank stare of just, I have... I wish I could remember what some of the other ones were, but it's just... It's surprising to me that there's people in the world who have never heard these things. It's like, it's so common. Like, it's so, like, everybody... Like, it's one of those things that, you think all of humanity knows. And then it's like, you know, you meet somebody and they have... It's like, honestly, it's like running into somebody who's, like, 30 years old who's never heard of Santa. And you're just like, man, oh, Santa's going to give you a lump of coal. And they just look at you blank face and you're just like, huh? What are you talking about? Why would who's Santa? Why would the devil give me coal? I don't get it. Like I don't know. I don't know.
I'm special. What can I say?
Now, when you say special,
hey.
So I'm trying to think what else. Just kind of random stuff. Oh, I didn't ask you how your week was. How was your week, Gemma?
Yeah. I don't know. It's a week. I worked. I was late to work today.
Are you... Why? Do you not wake up for your alarm?
No, not at all.
See, this is a weird thing. Because with me, like, when the alarm goes off, I may hit the snooze button, like, 7 million times and then, you know, not get up or try to do something like that. But the alarm wakes me up. Like, when it goes off, I hear it and it wakes me up. But from what you've told me is you can have the alarm right next to your head and it doesn't do anything.
Nope, not at all.
How?
It's been a fight since high school. I don't like alarms. I think sometimes I even turn them off without even, you know, noticing.
Well, I don't think anybody likes alarms, but how do you sleep through it? Like, I don't understand. Like, I've never been able to sleep that heavy in my... And I've been drunk. I mean, I've been passed out... You know, whiskey, Jaeger drunk. Like, me and Jimbo, co-host from Stay Tuned Sports, we had this night called The Shift. That's just what we called it. It was called The Shift. We started drinking at 2 in the afternoon. We watched a couple NFL preseason games. We had planned to go around. We were going to see our friend for the last time up at a bar that she had been working at. And we were going to, like, send her off. And we were going to go bar hopping and do a couple other things. We ended up not doing any of that. We just sat there from 2 p.m. to 2 a.m., a 12-hour shift of nothing but drinking. Went home. Forgot, because this was on a Saturday, so you're talking about Sunday morning, forgot that I didn't turn the alarm clock off from my regular weekday waking up. This is back when I still had a job. So the alarm went off. So you're talking about I had maybe 4 hours of absolute drunk, passed out sleep, and it still woke me up. Granted, I turned it immediately off and slept until about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, but it woke me up. I don't understand how somebody can sleep through an alarm, especially the loud ones that are like...
There's two stages of sleep with me. It's either anything will wake me up or nothing will wake me up.
And you have no idea or control of which one is which?
No.
Of when it happens?
Usually on the weekends, anything can wake me up. Weekdays, nothing.
And that sucks. That's kind of counterproductive.
I know.
You know, that's kind of the case where you want to be like, on the weekends, dude, let me sleep. Just let me just stay in bed all day. Don't care.
I mean, I do that anyways. I'd rather stay in bed and sleep anyways, but...
But you just wake up all the time.
I wake up.
Oh.
Maybe every 10, 20 minutes.
Oh, that sucks.
Like, I try to sleep in, and I wake up at my normal work time. Look at the clock. Close my eyes. Open my eyes. It's 20 minutes later.
But the week, but weekdays, you... Well, that, there's a reason why you were late today.
Yeah.
Because you just decided not to get up. Well, you didn't decide. You just... didn't hear the alarm go off.
My bus leaves at 7:10. I woke up at 7. It takes me 10 minutes to actually get to the bus.
Right. So you, yeah. Could you live relatively close to the bus?
Yes, I do.
So, so that's a good thing. So even if you do happen to wake up late, you know, you should still have enough time to get there, but not if you wake up that late.
Latest I can leave is 6:55. I've timed it.
You've timed this out. Okay. I was going to say, you've timed it out. Just in case, just so you know how long you do have. Just like, let me hit the snooze one more time for the times that you actually do wake up.
For someone who sleeps like me, I have to have it planned out. I have to know that timing.
I wonder how many people we have out there that don't wake up for the alarms. I actually wonder that. Maybe they can, you know what? I've been talking about the social media places that we're at, Facebook, Twitter. If you're out there listening, hit us up. Can you sleep through an alarm, or is it you one of the people there that when you hear it, it goes off and then you're just up? You have to be up. I wonder that. It's going to be a completely scientific poll done by us here at Social Downfall Radio. Here's the thing. We did absolutely no show prep for this show.
Not at all.
So I'm not exactly sure what we're going to be talking about next. I know that it's not really a professional thing to say that we don't know what's coming up next. Usually that's why I kind of try to leave it blank and just kind of end a segment and just be like, okay, this, you know, hey, you're listening to Social Downfall Radio. And it goes into the commercial or whatever. That's what I should have done instead of just rambling here and saying that we're not sure what's coming up. But we're not sure what's coming up next. Just so you know. So it's going to be a surprise to you as much as it is to us, which I think is actually, you know, that's cool. You don't get that reality in radio. That's it. We're reality radio here at Social Downfall. Why, hello, listener. It's King from Social Downfall Radio. And if you're anything like me, you're fat and love ramen noodles. No, wait, what? No, if you're anything like me, you love the world of mixed martial arts. And no show brings better coverage of the Octagon than The Cage Crew on the Brains Through Radio Network. Matt and Jeff provide no-nonsense MMA talk and tell it like it is. Good, bad,
or ugly.
The Cage Crew, Fridays at 4 p.m., available at BrainsThroughRadio.com, iTunes, and now on SoundCloud.
Connect to Social Downfall on social media, like on Facebook at facebook.com/socialdownfallradio, and follow us on Twitter at Social Downfall, minus the O in downfall.
So it's like S-C-I-S-C-I-A-L? Oh, in downfall, so social, S-O-C-S-O-C-I-A-L-D-W-N. Yeah, that'll work. That sucks, though. It's hard to work with.
Social Downfall Radio here with you again, King and Gemma. Hanging out with you, little Daft Punk. Love me some Daft Punk. I'm sorry. I know, like, I'm like a metalhead guy, but there's something about Daft Punk. I'm sorry. I just like them. They did the soundtrack for Tron Legacy, which is, I think, a lot of people gave her crap. I thought it was a good movie. I liked it. I enjoy it.
I liked it.
And the soundtrack is one of the things I enjoy most about it.
Hey, I actually saw a movie.
Yeah, but that's only because I showed it to you. It's the only reason you've seen it. I'm just saying. It's the only reason I think you see anything is if I introduce it to you.
No, I saw Harry Potter before you.
That doesn't count. Like, you're like a huge Harry Potter. You're a huge Harry Potter fan. Which, by the way, some Harry Potter news came out today. There was another new trailer for Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
I need to watch that trailer.
Not a bad trailer. Again, I'm kind of excited. And here's the thing. I'm not the hugest, like, Potterhead guy. Like, I'm not one of those people. But I enjoy the Harry Potter books. I enjoy the movies. Some of them. I think Goblet of Fire might be my favorite one. Order of the Phoenix. Meh. That might be between that and Prisoner of Azkaban. Those two are kind of like my meh.
Prisoner of Azkaban
is your lowest one?
No, that's my favorite.
Oh, that's your favorite?
Yes.
Wow, so your favorite is like one of my lower ones. That's weird.
I'm weird. What can I say?
I don't. Well,
you're
not weird. I'm not saying you're weird because I think a lot of people share that opinion with you. I think a lot of people love Prisoner of Azkaban, the movie, anyway.
Really?
I personally just, I don't know. I found it meh. Like I didn't really enjoy it so much. But Goblet of Fire, I thought was an amazing flick.
It was.
I thought that was a really good one. I think that's probably the best one they had there. And if they just would have made Deathly Hallows one movie, maybe make it a little bit longer, but have it just be one movie instead of trying to split it up to two, I think it would have been a much, much better movie.
It would have been, but hey, more money.
Yeah, and I think that's the problem is that they knew that people were going to go watch it no matter what. So, meh, it is what it is. But getting slightly off track here, there's been some Marvel news that's come out as well. If we're going to talk about movies here as well, one of the first things I wanted to bring up, because there's, like I said, there's been a bunch of Marvel news that we've seen today anyway, or this week, as it were. Stan Lee. Now, everybody knows in a Marvel movie, Stan Lee always has his cameo, which, for me anyway, at this point, has become effing tedious. Like, it's just like, okay, we get it, Stan. We know you basically created Marvel, even though, you know, there were a lot of other people like Jack Kirby and Steve Ditko and other people that had their hand in it. But no, we understand, Stan, you're their godfather of Marvel, so you have to be in every single Marvel movie. We get it, whatever. Anyway, news came out today that they've already filmed the next four Stan Lee cameos for the next movies. The connectivity, and I'm reading this from, this is from Coming Soon, comingsoon.net. The connectivity of the Marvel Cinematic Universe is unparalleled, which I agree with, as well over a dozen films and a handful of TV shows have replicated the continuity of the comic book world into live action. They do have a secret weapon, though, which fans are always eager for with each new film, the Stan Lee cameos. Now, see, here's the thing. Not always eager for it.
I am.
Like, it's kind of a thing where it's just like, oh, no, yeah, there's Stan Lee and his cameo. Okay, whatever. Can we get back to the movie? Please, thank you. Like, it doesn't work. Like, even with Civil War, when they had him be a FedEx delivery guy, it's like, first of all, how many 90-year-old FedEx delivery guys do you know?
Hey, you never know.
You know, and it's just like, Tony, are you Tony Stank? Oh, God, stop it. Stop it.
See, I like his cameos.
Like, the first few that he ever had were okay. Like, the one he did in Incredible Hulk was fine. And, you know, so, like, I even liked the one from Captain America Winter Soldier, where he was the security guard at the Smithsonian with the Captain America exhibit when he took his suit back and he's like, oh, I'm so far. Like, that was getting towards the end of my tolerance for it, though. I was just like, okay, I get it. That's cute. Yeah.
I liked the one from Ultron where he's the war vet.
I will begrudgingly agree with you.
Begrudgingly? See, I like the cameos.
I will begrudgingly agree with you that one was actually pretty good because it fit the timeline then. You know, he's in his 90s. It could be a World War II veteran. You get it. You know, I'll teach you whippersnapper, and then he's off his ass drunk. I get it. Like, that's fine. Like, to me, that kind of cameo, it's fine. When they're shoehorned in, like that FedEx one in Captain America, it just kind of takes you out. It rubs me the wrong way. Like, even, you know, being the strip club DJ in Deadpool, fine, yeah, that's great. How many 90-year-old DJs are in a strip club? Let's be serious.
Very true, very true.
Guardians of the Galaxy was fine because it was 2 seconds. He didn't say anything. He was just playing a creepy old man. Fine. That even works, too. Like, I was fine with that. Like, that kind of works. But, like, when you give him, like, a speaking role for, even if it's a two-line thing, it's just cringeworthy, man. It just really is. Anyway, the next four films on Marvel's release calendar are Doctor Strange, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Spider-Man Homecoming, and Thor Ragnarok. However, it is possible that Lee already shot his Doctor Strange cameo while the film was in production in London, meaning his other cameo could be for either Black Panther or for Avengers Infinity War. They're not sure. All they've been told, or that we've been told, is that four of his cameos are now in the can. So your guess is as good as mine. However, speaking of Doctor Strange, which comes out November 4th this year, super excited. By the way, another trailer for that came out today. You can go watch that however you would normally watch it. I usually do it on YouTube through Joe Blow, joeblow.com. That's my go-to place for any of my movie news and my nerd news, like anything like that. I go to Joe Blow before anything else. Like, back in, like, 2000, it might have been Ain't It Cool News, but I don't go there anymore. Like, I just... Ain't It Cool News just doesn't do it for him anymore. Like, it just... It became blah. Joe Blow is the place to go. By the way, sponsor us, Joe Blow. Anyway, like I was saying here... Hold on, I gotta fix something here. There we go. Ah, professionalism, ladies and gentlemen. Like I said, speaking of Doctor Strange... Benedict Cumberbatch has come out and confirmed that Doctor Strange will return for Infinity War.
Yay!
I'm super excited by this. As if it was not enough to bring together the likes of Iron Man, Star-Lord, Captain, Vision, Thor, Hulk, and countless others, these movies could also present brand new characters to the general Marvel audience. When it comes to bulking up the defense team to Thanos' reported plans, it is now confirmed that the Sorcerer Supreme himself will be involved. Benedict Cumberbatch spoke to Empire about Avengers Infinity War and confirmed that Doctor Strange will be taking part in the ensemble. This means that Cumberbatch will be making his way to Atlanta near the end of the year to begin on the nine months. Whew. That is a lot of shooting, which he may not be needed for entirely. I think obviously that's probably the case. The Russo brothers will be filming both movies out of order to capitalize on which actors are on set, with Cumberbatch telling Empire there is a logistical challenge of aligning his schedule with those of Robert Downey Jr., Hemsworth, Olsen, Bettany, you know, all the characters there. Even though it is a challenge, the actors look forward to the journey. Now, this seems kind of... Now, that's something I hadn't even thought of when it comes to these movies, is that because of the simple amount of characters that are going to be in them, that this kind of logistical thing of filming both movies at the same time, and let's face facts, most movies aren't shot in order anyway. You know, they're shot as, you know, as set pieces come together. If something has to be on location, you know, they'll do that first and blah, 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 blah. I get that. But here you're talking about two movies. You're going to have these... I mean, the logistics that are going to go into this as far as making sure where all the shots are, editing, putting everything together. Like, this is going to be a huge challenge.
I think it'll work out for them in the end. I really am excited for this.
Well, I mean, I trust the Russos.
I do, too.
After Winter Soldier and Civil War, I think everybody... kind of trust the Russos with the Marvel universe. I mean, after Joss Whedon gave us Avengers and did a very good job with it, he then gave us Ultron, which I think he did his best with that. Like, he did, you know, you know, it got panned, and I don't think it should have gotten panned as much as it did. Like, I think he did the best job that he could with what he had to do. Like, he said he had to cut a lot of stuff out because the studio said, you know, running time and, you know, different stuff like that. Like, I get that, but...
Did we ever get a director's cut for that?
No. They never did. And I think even Whedon said, like, there wasn't going to be one. Because that's what people were asking, because when he came out and said that, you know, he had to cut a lot people were like, well, you know, they're going to release, you know, some of the things. And, you know, they released deleted scenes and things like that, but they never did like that. Like where Batman versus Superman did like their ultimate super duper cut of terribleness, because this movie wasn't terrible enough. And running length as it was, we're going to make it even longer and more terrible.
A longer nap.
Oh, God. I still can't get over that movie. I'm sorry. To anybody out there that actually liked Batman versus Superman, I hate you. I hate you.
I don't hate you, but I don't like you.
God, that movie was terrible. God, it was just a... it makes me so angry!
Are you a musician? Are you a singer-songwriter? Are you someone that needs help audio editing? Look no further than Brainstew Media. Based out of northern New Jersey, Brainstew Media is your one-stop shop for all of your audio needs. Whether you're looking to record your first demo, your next album, or your next concert, Brainstew Media provides the best service and prices you will find. Check out our rates, studio, and portfolio by going to brainstewmedia.com today.
More addictive than Game of War. And we didn't even need Kate Upton's boobs. Now, back to Social Downfall Radio.
Social Downfall Radio. What episode is this? I even forget.
I don't know.
Just 14? I think last week was 13, so this would be 14. I think. I should probably pay attention to which episodes we're actually doing here.
We were counting for a while.
We were. Man. We did not prepare for this show.
No.
Anyway, I just want to say this. What you're hearing right now, this is the theme for the WWE Cruiserweight Champion, TJ Perkins. And by far, probably one of the best themes in WWE right now. It just debuted, and it's probably already one of the best themes they've ever had.
I love it, and I love the actual entrance that goes along with it.
I love the whole video game thing. It's very Mega Man-ish.
Yeah.
People are saying it's like a mix between Mega Man and Scott Pilgrim. You know, he's got the hearts and coins on the ramp and entrance as he decides to come in. Like it's really sharp. I like it.
I love Scott Pilgrim, and I definitely see that resemblance too.
And I love the cruiserweights. I'm sorry. And the thing that bugged me is during the match on Monday Night Raw that TJ Perkins had, you had the crowd in Cincinnati was like chanting. They were like chanting Macho Man. And they were chanting for CM Punk, and they were like, you were getting a great vibe. And like, I understand if you want to chant when a match is boring or it's just like not something you're really into. But when you have like legitimately great matches going on in front of you and you sit there and chant, you know, CM Punk or Randy Savage, you are a-holes. You are a-holes. Nobody likes you. So, like, honestly, from this point out, like, the people of Cincinnati, I hope you never get another wrestling event, at least WWE. I hope you don't get anything like that. You don't deserve anything. Your Bengals suck anyway, too. You've never won a Super Bowl. Screw you, Cincinnati. Screw you.
Maybe they forgot what a good Raw match is.
I don't know. That could be it. Maybe people went there with the mindset of, like, man, this is going to be Raw, so it's obviously going to be terrible, so we're just not going to, you know, we already have our chance in place for how terrible Raw is going to be. And when it turns out to be good, it's like, well, we can't waste these chances now. CM Punk. Which I will give King Ross from WhatCulture.com, who I watch all the time, I will give him great credit for this, because he makes fun of all the moments, the goofy moments that happen during Monday Night Raw, SmackDown, any kind of wrestling events. And he was making fun of the fact that these people were chanting CM Punk. And it was just like, yeah, you know, CM Punk, isn't that the guy who, like, you know, tapped out in 30 seconds? Oh, snap, son! And then it's like, yeah, no, I get it. You know, it was brave. It was braver of him to go in the ring. Don't get me wrong. It was braver of him to go to the octagon. Thank goodness, you know. That's why we need a cough button. But, like, I get that, you know. But the point is like, yeah, he went into the hot guy. Listen, I could do that good as well. You know, I think I could try to last at least 30 seconds in an octagon. you know, as much as CM Punk did. CM Punk got, I mean, let's face it, you can sit there and say all the things, oh, he's so brave, oh, go, go, CM Punk, and everybody else, you know, is trying to defend him and do all that kind of stuff. Listen, CM Punk sucked. He sucked in that. Why he's, apparently, UFC's going to give him another fight, and they're saying, you know, like, people are saying, yeah, but he brings in money, he brings in people. No, I don't think he is. CM Punk's not going to bring in any more pay-per-view buys, because people already know what they're going to see. He got his ass kicked. So who wants to see that? Like, the reason you tuned in the first time was to see, is he going to get his ass kicked? Is he going to be decent? Or, mind blown, can he actually win? No. What we saw was he got his ass kicked. Now he's going to fight again for UFC? Nobody's going to buy that because of CM Punk now. We already saw it. We already know what's going to happen to him. You could put him in there with the UFC equivalent of a jobber, and he's still going to get his ass kicked. You know, he's like, what, 39 years old? 37, 38, 39 years old? I'm like, listen, he's a great wrestler. He's a great, you know, his character was fantastic in wrestling. He's a fantastic ring worker. Mic worker is almost unparalleled. He's great in a wrestling ring. In a UFC octagon, he ain't.
If he wants to fight so bad, he should just go back to the indies.
Well, sorry, I had to take a sip of my coffee. Pumpkin spice again, by the way. like, what, you mean like the MMA indies?
No,
like
no, wrestling indies.
Yeah, but that's not fighting, that's wrestling. That's,
well,
different.
You know what I mean.
Right? No, I don't. When you say he should, if he wants to fight, he should fight in the indies, that's implying.
If he wants to be in a ring so bad, let me change my phrasing.
But what if he, I don't know if he wants to be in a ring that bad. I honestly don't. I think he might, like a lot of people, like, oh, he'll come back someday and he'll do that stuff. I think he, you know, he's got that mentality of, yeah, I don't care. I made my money. He was very smart with his money and his investing. So I don't think there's any, there's no, the only reason he would come back to wrestling is because of the love of wrestling. Like, he doesn't need to come back to wrestling.
I'm not saying he needs to. I'm saying if he wants to be in a ring so bad, and he's not as good as some people expected him to be in an MMA ring, he should go back to the indies of wrestling and get back in the ring. He's a good wrestler. I missed his era, but he's a good wrestler.
And that's it. I don't think, because I don't know if the bridges between him and Vince and WWE will ever be mended. I mean, there's a current lawsuit going on where the doctor from WWE is suing CM Punk for what he said on Colt Cabana's podcast, and apparently Colt Cabana was behind, was backstage for one of the Raws, which then CM Punk saw, so now they're not friends anymore. They were lifelong friends, now they're not friends anymore, and he doesn't want anything to do with him, and like, I mean, it's seriously like high school drama when it comes to CM Punk at this point. Like, it's so bad. Anyway, we've gotten off topic.
Yes, we have.
We picked up more on CM Punk thing, and so far for this segment, two things you got to know: screw Cincinnati and screw CM Punk.
And also, this past Raw was actually the second lowest rated Monday Night Raw,
which is well. Because here's the thing: like, we watched Clash of the Champions. It should be Clash of the Champions, which was the old WWC pay-per-view, but they decided to take the out of the champions. So it was just Clash of Champions. And I heard people say this, like, they said it was a solid show. It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad or anything like that. But it was, what I got from it was, like, it was your average Monday Night Raw, which for a pay-per-view is subpar to me.
Yes.
When you have a pay-per-view, I know that they're going to have like 19 pay-per-views now between the two brands that they have or anything like that. Doesn't matter. You have to look at, because here's the thing, they've been doing this for years now where they just kind of phone it in on some of these pay-per-views. Listen, if you're going to have people, you know, buying the WWE Network, and even if they still are some, you know, outlets out there that actually have pay-per-views where people are still spending $60 on these damn things, which I don't know why anybody would still do that. The pay-per-views are supposed to be a payoff. There's supposed to be something there. You further some storylines, you do something like that, but there's got to be something in there, you know, something that's like, you leave the pay-per-view and you're like, man, that was a damn good pay-per-view. That was satisfying to watch.
What we need to see is something that we're not going to get on a regular Raw.
Right, exactly. It shouldn't be like you're watching Monday Night Raw. It shouldn't be. And unfortunately, Clash of Champions was an okay episode of Monday Night Raw. And that's unacceptable for a pay-per-view, at least in my mind, anyway.
Especially for their first Raw separate.
For the first one from the bland. Well, the bland split kind of makes sense, at least for the Raw side. Because here's the deal. SmackDown's been great.
SmackDown's amazing.
I think SmackDown has been absolutely great. Their pay-per-view backlash, where a lot of people weren't expecting a lot from it, it blew people's minds how good it was. And it was fantastic. And SmackDown itself, on a regular basis, has been really good. Story-driven. They move the stories along. There's high interest in what's going on. People are wrestling because of something. There's a reason to care. There's a purpose to the matches. It's not like a Monday Night Raw. Let's take this. Monday Night Raw this week, there was an 8-man tag match. I'm sorry. That was SmackDown. But point remains. Even though it was SmackDown, it's still a problem with the creative team over both brands is the fact that, you know, there were 8-man tag match. Usos were with Ascension and Heath Slater and Rhino were with American Alpha. Why?
There's no point to it, and it's
but, you know, there was not only was there no point to it, it's just like, but if there's going to be a point to it, why? Why are they teaming together? Was there something that happened backstage? Is there an agreement? Is there an alliance? No, it was just, we gotta fill up a segment, so we'll do this. And I hate that. Now, Raw's been doing that a lot more, obviously, than SmackDown. But, like I said, just from my point of view, SmackDown has been the far superior show than Raw has been. And as you were saying, how Raw's numbers are, they're creeping down to the lowest numbers that Raw ever had. Even during the Monday Night Wars where WCW was kicking their ass, these numbers are getting lower than that.
The only show that's lower than this past Raw was a show from Christmas week in 1996.
So now we've gotten to the point where people were saying it's the lowest ratings since, you know, such and such, minus the holiday shows. Because the holiday shows usually are terrible ratings-wise anyway, because it's usually just a lot of filler. You know, sometimes it's just like a lot of video recaps of the year or like a Slammy Awards or something like that where nobody really cares. You know, there's going to be nothing there. But here's the point now is that we're getting to the point where the Raws are getting lower even than the holiday shows. You know, so, and like you're saying, the only other show that was lower rated than this was one, it was a holiday show in 96 when WWF at the time was just in the tank. Like, it was terrible. It wasn't the Attitude Era yet. You know, they were still doing the goofy gimmick wrestler thing. And it was just, you know, that's got to say something. That's got to say something to these people. That it's just, we're at this point and it's this bad. But it doesn't seem like they want to change anything.
They don't. And it could be also, not social media, the streaming sites. People are now streaming it on Hulu. But if they're getting low ratings on Raw and not SmackDown, people are tuning into SmackDown instead of Raw.
And that's the thing, yeah. Because here's the thing. I think the... Man, I am just coughing. I'm dying. Man, talk about ratings. We'd get some decent download numbers if I died on a show.
I don't want to find a new co-host.
That, well, oh, please. The show will die without me. If I die, the show dies. Like, no, people are tuning in for SmackDown. And the thing is, like, when you have the Hulu thing and people are streaming and things like that, I think, like, after a week or so, those count. Like, I know that some places do count, you know, like, DVR ratings and, like, Hulu ratings, streaming ratings. Like, they will count that into what the general viewership is. It usually takes a little longer. I know some companies don't do that, though. Like NBC, which is funny because NBC, I think, owns part of, if not wholly owns, Hulu. So the funny thing is that NBC doesn't take into account Hulu, like the Hulu viewership, the Hulu ratings, which is funny because NBC owns USA, and thus that's who WWE Network has, or WWE itself has an agreement with NBC Universal. So, like, I'm not sure if those ratings are going to be counted towards what's going on. But it's just, it's hard to explain. It's hard to like really just put out there like what do they do? Like they have to start realizing they have to put on a better product.
They do.
It has to be a better product. And if they truly do have two separate creative teams, the SmackDown creative team is killing Raw. It's absolutely destroying Raw right now. The storylines are better. It's more fun to watch. Like I said, it has SmackDown, and even Talking Smack on the WWE Network has become must watch. You have to watch it. And like, you know, because you had the Miz promo, you have you know, John Cena yesterday after the SmackDown on Tuesday, going on the air on Talking Smack and laying out a pretty decent promo on Talking Smack. You have Dolph Ziggler and The Miz are at the best they've ever been right now during this kind of feud that they've been having going on. I mean, you can kind of see almost the wrestlers themselves are stepping up and feeling better and buying into what SmackDown is doing. While on Raw, it's just... It's sometimes a labor to get through. And that's the thing. I love Kevin Owens. Jericho, I don't think, has been better even in his... And he's been great his entire career. He's having one of the best runs he's ever had as a heel. Just absolutely fantastic stuff. But it's a labor to get through sometimes. And I think the 3 hours absolutely hurts Raw.
It definitely does.
So, I mean, that's... Here's the thing, though. I don't think they'll ever cut that third hour now. Once they went to it, now you're never going to cut it. And that's the problem. I wish they would. If Raw just went 2 hours, I think Raw would be marketably better than what it is now. But for right now, the show is bad. Their first pay-per-view, to me, was subpar. Wasn't good. You know, whereas I'm looking forward to No Mercy, the next SmackDown pay-per-view, and looking forward to next week's SmackDown and how the story goes and where we're going from here. With Raw, it's like, yeah, I'll watch it because I kind of have to, you know, for either the show or for, you know, whatever reason, because I kind of like wrestling anyway, I'll watch it. But, you know, like I'm more excited to watch WCPW, What Culture Wrestling, on YouTube than I am to see Raw. And that shouldn't be. That's weird. Who doesn't like to be naked? Sure, we all do. But the police usually frown upon public nudity. Well, now you can stay out of jail and look good doing so with a t-shirt from Skunk Duck Design. From sports to politics to the wide world of nerdcraft, there's a shirt for you at Skunk Duck. They even have shirts for you for 20 followers. Skunk Duck shirts come in both regular and women's cut, and with sizes from extra small to 5XL, there's a shirt for everyone. Oh, did I mention they have hoodies too? Because they totally have hoodies. Go to teespring.com/stores/skunkduckdesign to get the shirt that's right for you. That's teespring.com/stores/skunkduckdesign. New shirts are being added all the time, so follow Skunk Duck on social media at facebook.com/skunkduckdesign for all the latest updates. Skunk Duck Design, the best ducking designs on the web.
Just like the 1980s Nintendo cartridge, all we need is one good blow to work properly.
I don't understand.
Now, back to Social Downfall Radio.
Dare to be stupid!
Social Downfall Radio.
You can eat a bunch of sushi, then forget the
I'm sorry. Well, first of all, I love Weird Al, but what we're going to be talking about is really people daring to be stupid, so I figured this song absolutely fit coming into this segment. I mean, there's really nothing else you could do. Plus, not only that, it reminds me of Transformers the movie from 86. Transformers movie.
That's a good movie.
It is. You did finally see that, didn't you?
Well, I had seen it prior.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I did not know this. I thought this was another movie that I was introducing you to.
Nope.
Ah. I feel excited by that now. But yes, this story, not about Transformers, unfortunately. It is about iPhone users and how pretty damn stupid they are. Now, I remember when the iPhone 6 came out, there was that problem that people were having, and they put it in a pocket and it would bend. Like there people like people's iPhones were actually bending because the case was just you know, if people were in their tight pockets, and of course in my mind all iPhone users are hipsters with skinny jeans and, you know, wearing fedoras and scarves. It's like, dude, oh man, my phone bent. Oh, that's gnarly. I don't know why hipsters and hippies sound the same to me, but they do. So shut up.
King Logic.
It is. It's King. Hashtag King Logic. But what I remember then, there was like a Facebook posts and videos on YouTube of, you know, the Wave app. There was the Wave app, and there was the one to, for if your phone bent, if your phone was bent, the easy way to fix it was to heat your oven to 300 degrees, put your iPhone into the oven for 10 minutes. The heat would help straighten it out, and your phone would be good as new. And people actually did it and then got upset because their phone was basically baked. Then the, what I talked about before, people were making, like, you know, iPhones have this new built-in Wave app. And what this does, it helps you wirelessly charge your battery by putting it into the microwave. If you put it into the microwave for between 30 seconds and a minute, depending on how much charge you need on your phone, you put it in there for that long, you press start, the microwaves help charge the battery, and you're set. People did this and were upset because their iPhone basically exploded and your microwave was broken.
Man, I thought I was gullible.
So now with iPhone coming out with the iPhone 7, well, you know, people are going to evolve along with the iPhones, I suppose. And the biggest criticism with the iPhone 7 is not that it bends if it's in your pocket or anything like that. It's that it's completely missing a jack. It has no headphone jack whatsoever. Apple is completely jacking off at this point. So, and there's a couple reasons for that. You know, one of the reasons I saw was that Apple wants people to use their Apple Pay system for, like, if they have their business and they want to, like, use, like, their iPhone for, like, tracking business transactions or things like that, or paying. They don't want people using, you know, like the Square app, like where you're able to slide your card on your phone and, like, able to charge people that way. Like, a lot of food trucks use that.
Yes, they do.
So they kind of want to just have a monopoly for iPhone that you only use Apple Pay. You can't use Square. You can't use anything else. You have to use Apple Pay. And so that's one of the reasons why I think that they got rid of the jack. And then they have these iPhone AirBuds or something, like AirBud Golden Retriever, you know, whatever it is, that you can put in your head and immediately lose. But wait, Apple has a solution for that. If you're afraid you're going to lose your earbuds, they sell you a little harness that looks like headphone wires that you could, you know, have with regular headphones, but it costs you $10 to get that.
I need it.
Oh, God.
I need it.
So people have been trying to find a solution for this because they want their jack back in their iPhone. I mean, they want to jack on where Apple is jacking off. So if you've noticed on Facebook, some of the parody accounts, as it were, with the iPhone have already started popping up on how you can go ahead and get the headphone jack back into your iPhone. There's even videos of it on YouTube. Because here's the deal. Apple didn't get rid of the headphone jack. No. It's just hidden, folks.
Oh my gosh.
The jack is just hidden. It's in a certain spot on the bottom of the phone. Is it the bottom or top? I can't remember where they said it was.
I think it was the top.
It's in a certain spot. All you need to do is get, I think it's a 3/15ths or 3/16ths bit drill bit, and you have to find the exact spot, and in the video they'll show you the exact spot of where you have to go ahead and drill. Take your drill, you drill in through the case, and voila, you got yourself a headphone jack. You're able to go ahead, and it's like a cheat. It's like you're beating the system.
That makes so much sense. Oh my gosh, I need to go get an iPhone so
that I can an iPhone. Is that like the Chinese knockoff?
Yeah.
I need the iPhone.
But I need to go get an iPhone right now so I can try this.
Oops, iPhone.
Oh, you hush.
Oh, that's never going away, by the way.
I hate you.
Now, of course, for all the rational people there with common sense, even Gemma, who doesn't have common sense, but even she realizes, that's all complete bull. There's no headphone jack. If you drill into your phone, it is going to destroy your phone. I mean, we all know this, right? Same thing as the oven. If you put your phone in an oven, if you put your phone in the microwave, it's going to destroy it. Drilling into your phone, whether it's an iPhone or a Samsung or whatever it is, it's going to destroy your phone. Well, just like with the oven and the microwave, we got people trying it out because they're so desperate for that headphone jack. And this might seem obvious, but it is a really, really bad idea to drill a headphone jack into the new iPhone 7, but that hasn't stopped some people from trying. I'm reading this article, by the way, from Fortune. Go to fortune.com if you want to go ahead and read along. A new video published to YouTube depicts a YouTube user, Tech Racks, placing the iPhone 7 into a vise and getting out his 3.5 millimeter drill bit. He then takes the bit to the iPhone 7 and drills a hole into the device. Best of all, the headphones fit into the hole he drilled. Boom, right there. It works, right? Since being published last week, the video has gone viral and has nearly 10 million views. Now, while Tech Racks' video demonstrates that the headphone hole he drilled does not actually work, it hasn't stopped several users from actually trying it out. In fact, the YouTube video is filled with comments from people who claim to have tried the technique only to discover that drilling a hole into the smartphone leaves it unusable. No! You're kidding me! Come on. We all know if it's on the internet, it's true. Some of the quotes there are, "Help, now my headphones fit in, but the phone doesn't work anymore." Several other comments evoke a similar tone, with one user complaining that the iPhone 7 is quote-unquote dead and wondering if it would require a long charge to come back on.
My favorite one is, "Hello, Tech Rex. I drilled the hole in it. The headphone doesn't go in all the way. Do I need to drill deeper? Also, my phone turned off because of low battery, I think. I'm charging it for an hour now. It doesn't turn on. Is this normal?"
Here's the thing. I would severely hope that, like, a lot of the comments are just people being trolls and, trying to be funny and going along with a joke. I personally would really hope that, for humanity's sake, like, just for the sake of the human race, I would hope that it's just a bunch of people going along and making a joke with it. However, I have been on the internet since 1997. I have seen comment sections and everything for close now to 20 years. I have no more faith in humanity, so part of me, in fact, most of me, believes that these people have actually done this.
They're iPhone users.
That does kind of explain a lot. No, I'm not even going to lie. Now, Apple did make the controversial decision to offer an iPhone 7 without the jack for you to go ahead and plug in your headphones. Instead, Apple shipped iPhone 7 units with an adapter that lets users plug in tethered headphones through a lightning port. Apple is also releasing wireless earbuds next month called AirPods that will wirelessly connect to the iPhone 7. Okay, so you can still use... So they still have, some of that. You're still going to be able to put in headphones, but here's the thing, is that it's not going to be a regular jack. Like, you can't just buy headphones now and have regular headphones in there. They have to be Apple specific headphones that fit into the lightning port, which is its whole other set of problems.
Apple is trying to up their game because they know Samsung is winning.
Well, Samsung is having their own problems now with the Galaxy Note 7 exploding on everybody with the battery, so good for them. But here's the thing, even with that happening, even with phones exploding, Apple is still getting the lion's share of the negative press, which is, I find, hilarious, because, you'd figure people would be caring more about exploding batteries than a headphone jack, but apparently not. Oh, you were raising your hand. I thought you had something to say.
I did, and then...
You completely forgot?
Yes, because you talked.
I talk on a talk show?
I know, right? Samsung's not only having the batteries blow up, but also washing machines.
I saw that where they're starting to do a recall on some of the Samsung washing machines. Now, I feel bad for my parents because they have a Samsung washing machine.
They do.
So I certainly hope that doesn't explode, because then where am I going to do my laundry? But anyway, that's going to do it for this week. My name is King. That's Gemma. This has been Social Downfall Radio. I guess we'll see ya. See ya!
Social Downfall Radio is a production of Skunk Duck Studios and is distributed by Brainstew Media.